Hey everybody, it's Maylee Thomas, and it's time for our Texas Homegrown Music. And I've got the guest today, Lindsey Buchanan, who I adore, and you're going to as well after you hear this interview. Her music is stellar, but more than that, she's just a super, super human being that has a connection to me somehow in my soul. As soon as I spoke with her a little bit before the interview, I could tell that we were going to have a kindred spirit, and we definitely do. So I don't want to take too much time. I want to get to it. But before I do, I'm going to sing a song for you guys. And I know you've heard it before on this show. It's called Like a Lily. And it's basically a story about my life as a child and what it was like to grow up with some, you know, a little bit of turmoil and angst. But I got through it. And more than that, I didn't just get through it. I didn't let myself be identified by the sorrow and the grief that I went through. Instead, I turned it into something beautiful in my life, and it's always been a very strong thread and a foundation for everything that I see. And I look for all the collateral beauty in life in this journey, and I hope you will too. And it's called Strong Like a Lily, and when I get back, I'll be right here with Lindsey Buchanan.
Strong like a lily. As a river washed in the blood, I've been delivered. Mama was a dancer, May Blossom. She used to like to gamble, could always find a game. She never said she lost the house, just moved us out.
Well, hey, everybody, we're back on Texas Homegrown Music with my guest, Lindsey Buchanan. Lindsey, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You know, I got sent one of your songs from a friend of mine saying, you need to listen up to this girl. She's got a killer voice. You need to get her on the show. And I had so much fun this morning just listening to your music. And, you know, I don't know. I love the fact that I discover all these artists and I'm thinking, well, these gals need to be seen and heard because they're as good as anything and everything we hear on the radio and we see on concert series. And girl, you've got the it. I want to know where it came from. And I know you're out in West Texas, I think, somewhere.
Yes, I'm out in West Texas.
And ranch wife, it says ranch wife mama. I think you're probably a hippie mama from just everything we just talked about.
Yeah.
Tell me about your life and tell me what got you into singing and playing music and just this whole journey into this music world.
So whenever I was growing up, whenever I was younger, my dad, he played the guitar around the house all the time. And so I grew up listening to him play classic country stuff and a lot of he liked a lot of stuff from the Cosmic Cowboy era. So he liked a lot of Michael Martin Murphy,
right,
and stuff like that. And a lot of Steve Earle, Chris LeDoux, you know, he had always had like a rodeo country vibe. And so growing up, watching him play inspired me. And I was singing probably before I could talk. And I picked up a guitar when I was around 11, and I started teaching myself some chords, and I had a couple of, my first guitar was an old pawn shop guitar. It was like $20 at a pawn shop, and I got a couple of VHS tapes.
Yeah, you and so many other people out there in the world.
Yeah, I still have that guitar too, and I had a couple of VHS tapes, and I learned like three chords, and next thing I know, my mom was dragging me to the local VFW. I grew up in Anson, out north of Abilene. It's a little small town, about 2,000 people, but that's where I grew up. And so she used to take me to the VFW there, and I'd sit up on top of the bar and play, you know, whatever songs had those three chords, I'd sit there and play them to all the regulars. And it just kind of took off from there. And then as I got, you know, about 13, 14 and got a little bit better at guitar, I started trying my hand at songwriting. And I wrote my first song actually with my dad because he was working on something, and we co-wrote a song together. And that's kind of where I got a taste for co-writing and songwriting, was with my dad. And whenever I was 15, I had my very first gig in Abilene at a bar called The Firehouse. And my mom, she took me up there. And I met that same day Scott Smith with South of Mayhem. I'm sure you've heard some of their music come out recently. Agree to Disagree. They just had a single come out. But I've known those guys for a long time. And Scott was there and kind of took me under his wing. And I was so scared to play my first gig. I was really nervous.
Even after really singing for other people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's different whenever you're sitting on a bar and just like a group of people. And the next thing you know, you're on a stage and there's a microphone in front of you and a bunch of people you don't know. You're used to playing in front of people you know. And the next thing you know, it's like you're in a big town. Abilene is still, it's a small town. But compared to Anson and the people that you know locally, you go to Abilene and it's a real big deal and you get scared. But that's where I got my start, was just in the local bars around Abilene. Playing gigs, and I've just kind of kept chipping at it from there.
Well, so yeah, I said you said you're a rich ranch wife and mama. So obviously,
yeah,
you married a
yeah.
guy and you're living out on a ranch and working it and got some kiddos. Tell me about that part of your life, because it's a big part of it.
It really is. You know, I spent a lot of my 20s running wild. And so I feel like I try to tell people in their 20s, like, don't get married until you're like 30, you know, because you think you know what you want in your 20s and you really don't. You change, you evolve through so many people from the time you're 20 to the time you're 30. And so I'm really glad that I was able to start my life, you know, with my husband. I'm 34 now, you know, and we got together in the last 3 years, and I have a son who's about to be 2 years old this week.
Oh, wow.
And we moved out here to an area in between Abilene and Lubbock where he's from. And we raise show cattle out here, and I've got a couple chickens, and it's just, it's really nice to be, you know, it has its challenges being way out here, because I am like, I'm an hour and a half from everything out here. And there's sometimes I get so frustrated because it's such a pain to drive so far to everything now. But I also have times where I'm like really happy when I come home from like the Metroplex or from even from Abilene. I'm like, wow, I'm so ready to go back to the country, get out of the city.
Well, you know, there's something very peaceful about having a place where you know that you got to plan things ahead. I lived on a ranch for a while, and I know what it's like where you can't just say, well, let's just run up the street and grab something to eat. You know, you've got to plan a little bit ahead, and you got to be really creative sometimes for what you have right. left in the kitchen. You know?
Yeah. I mean, unless you like Dairy Queen every day, it's kind of hard out here. You got to, you know, go to town every couple of weeks and get all your groceries for like, you know, an extended amount of time. But it's also really opened me up to more homesteading stuff. I unfortunately did not inherit the green thumb from my family, but I try so hard. I've got some plants out on my porch. I've got, you know, some tomatoes and some peppers and stuff growing, and I'm trying to keep them alive. But I learn a little more every year that I do some gardening. I learn a little more about how to take care of the plants, and hopefully over the next few years I can actually sustain something that I can and, you know,
and actually say this is from my garden.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it sounds like a really nice way to raise a family, though, because I tell you, I've done a little bit of both. And I think the best times in our lives was when we had all four of our kids. We moved out to our ranch from a house in the suburbs, you know, and it was in the middle of everything. But it was right at the time where they were spending a lot of time in their room. I think social media was just taking off. Their phones were just coming out. And I felt like I lost my kids. I didn't get to see them very often. They were just, you know, they were completely intrigued in all of that. And so we made a big decision to move our kids out to our ranch. And they went from all having their own room to sharing one big room with four bunk beds. And it was the best thing we ever did for our family. And, you know, and then they stayed in that house for quite a while until they were teenagers. And then they really appreciated having their own space, but they got to know each other and I got to know them. And I tell you, out of everything that I've done in my life, I think that for my children, I think that was the best decision we ever made, was giving them the ability to actually figure out who they were based on what they wanted and not what they saw and were influenced by.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changed so much. But I tease my husband all the time, like, my son is not going to know even what era he's growing up in, because I'm making sure that he's got vinyl records. I'm making sure he's got Super Nintendo, you know, making sure he's getting to experience some of the nostalgia of our childhood, you know. And but as far as living out in the country, like, I always lived out in the country, and I didn't really you don't appreciate something so much until you get away from it. I grew up ranching. Like, for the longest time I was the only child, and so I was my dad's ranch help. And so I was out there at 5 o'clock in the morning. We were out gathering cows and building fences and whatever else, you know. I was out in I spent my summers out on a four wheeler spraying a fields of mesquite trees with herbicide to, you know, for the ranch that my dad worked for. And it was a lot of hard work. And so I was over it. And so I moved to Fort Worth for a couple years in my late 20s. I went to live, and I was so excited to live in the big city. I really enjoyed it, but coming back to my roots out here in the country has really made me appreciate it more. being away from it for a couple of years.
Well, you definitely write a lot about it. And I, you know, listening to all the songs that you've written, I could tell that you definitely spend some time in the city and in the country. So you've got a little bit of it all. And so it's easy for you to relate to that. And you just released the most recent single that you released is called Hold You Down. So I'm just going to start the set with that song because it is the latest. But I want us to go back. And speaking of nostalgia, I want to go back and play some of the first songs that you recorded on your self-titled record, Lindsay Buchanan, because there's some really great stuff in there. And a good song is a good song, honey, no matter when you write it. But I know as artists, we're always evolving. We're always thinking that the latest thing that we've done is the better. But I don't buy into that all the time. I think that it just depends on where you're at and what you're writing about. But give me a little bit about Hold You Down. I think it really, it's pretty self-explanatory about you don't want to, but if you want to expound on it, go ahead and tell people a little bit about what that was.
Oh, yeah. Hold You Down. So that was a co-write, actually, with Emily Jane Ramos. She's one of the singers of Della Rose. And we wrote that song back in 2016, somewhere around in there. It's been floating around for a long time, and I finally had a chance to record it myself. Della Rose, they recorded a version of it as well. But as far as my contribution to the song at that time, I think it really comes down to situationships. You think that you want something to work out with somebody. And so you're just so, you know, desperate and enamored by this person that it's sickening and you just will do anything to make it work. And I feel like everybody goes through that phase with someone that they're dating or interested in or talking to. But hopefully you're like me and you look back and you get some distance on those feelings and think that was really silly, but it's at least you had a good song come out of
it. Well, a good song, but also, I mean, I'm not all about life's lessons, but I do think, you know, I've got two daughters and two sons, and they're all two of them are in a dating phase right now, and two of them are hitched up, you know, pretty much. But I always spend a lot of time talking to them about, hey, you know, live in the moment. I want you to appreciate the moment, but I also want you to realize that you're going to evolve so much. And I couldn't agree with you more on the whole 20 thing. Yeah, I look back at myself on how much I grew from being not from 20 to 30. And it was the biggest growth I've had in my whole life. And, and at the time though, you think that you recognize how life is going to be. And in fact, you know, at 24, 25, I can remember thinking, oh, I guess this is how life is going to be. So I'm just going to take it the way it is right now. And oh my goodness, girl, I'm so grateful. I married my husband that I'm with now when I was in my 30s. And I'm so grateful that I waited for that because I was a different person. And I knew what to look for. And I knew who I was. And I knew what I wanted. And I knew how I wanted to live. And I'm a big believer in that whole 30 thing. I don't think guys at all are ready to do anything until they're 30, but that's just.
And, you know, Hold You Down was like in the middle of my 20s when, you know, self-love was not quite the concept yet, you know. And so that was definitely a song that was written during a time that I was not as self-aware as I am now about how I relate to other people. But you live, you learn, you write good songs.
There you go. And that's what you've done, honey. Lindsay Buchanan right here on Texas Homegrown Music. Hold You Down and we'll be right back to talk some more to this hippie chick that I already know I'm going to love.
Trying to
Well, we're back with Lindsay Buchanan here. And Lindsay, you know, I'm such a believer in people being authentic to who they are and what they are. And I love listening to your lyrics. And I feel like you've already lived so long. I'm surprised you're only in your 30s because you seem like you've experienced a lot. Where do you think that all came? I was going to say, where do you think that all came from? You believe you're an old soul?
I think so. Yeah, that's the only thing I can figure. You know, I've been through a lot in my life. I won't expand upon, but, you know, I think.
Well, it's okay if you want to.
When you go through extraordinary circumstances, I think you pick up some philosophy in there. As you're learning those lessons, it's hard to avoid diving into your brain and picking everything apart and
trying to figure out why you reacted to something the way you did, or just
carry it with you. I'm a huge analytical person. I'm very over analytical. That's just my nature. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe my dad. I don't, as much as he would not like to admit that, I really think I get it from my dad, because, you know, I just see that in him sometimes, but I'm an analytical person. That's my person. It's in my personality to pick things apart and to just really think, overthink, to my own detriment. but sometimes, you know, I can, it comes in handy during songwriting, because, I want to speak in my songs on things that you really feel. And I want people to hear my music and think, I thought I was the only one that felt that way.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to articulate a feeling that you feel is misunderstood, and then have people actually understand it. That's the magic of songwriting to me. That's what I get the most out of it, is whenever people relate to my lyrics or hone in on the craft of it.
Oh, I totally agree. And I've recently been, you know, fortunate enough to have people write me or to come up to me after a show and tell me what something meant to them at a dark time in their life, and said, thank you for sharing that and letting me know that I'm not the only one that feels that way. And, you know, I talk about this a lot with my guests, and I really believe this, that I feel like our life's purpose is so relational. It is so
I agree.
It is so about how we connect. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel like right now, and I know I shouldn't say right now, because, you know, I happen to have lived through a lot of different decades of the same thing that's happened. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and a lot of people are saying now, oh, our world is so divisive and there's so much going on. Well, you know, we've been this way always. I mean, we go through these cycles all the time. And that's the need for music. And that's the need for us to be, to speak out and talk about the things that we go through, because this has always been here.
Right.
You know,
it's music is such a safe space to separate from that left and right, and that just, you know, think for yourself. It gives you a zone to think for yourself and to connect with other people who do the same.
Well, I want to play a couple of songs back to back, so I'm going to have you talk about them. The first one is Between Heaven and the Highway. And I think probably one of your most loved songs. When did you write that? And tell me what you mean by that, Between Heaven and the Highway. Your life between heaven and the highway?
Yeah, so I was married another time in another life.
So was I. So was I. I got married too young.
Me too, at 22.
I got married at 20, and I was like, oh my God, what have I done?
I think we're so conditioned after, you know, high school to be like, okay, get married, have kids, have a career, you know, and so that's what I did. And it was.
And you did.
Hindsight's always 20/20. So in my previous marriage, I was married for 3 years, and I was 20, I was 25 when I got divorced, and during that time, it's always a revelation to be free from any kind of dark situation. And Between Heaven and the Highway was written during a time that I started traveling and solo. I was traveling solo a lot in my 20s. And just for, I mean, just very spontaneous things. I went out to Terlingua and hung out there and met some people. Or I'd go to Fort Worth and I'd go to Stockyards and play and jump up on stage on, you know, if somebody was playing, I'd make friends. And then, you know, that's why I can still go out there and sometimes catch some friends out there and jump up on stage and play sometimes. But Between Heaven and the Highway is just about being in the moment, literally between, if all you have is what's above you and what's below you, being in the moment, you're going to be okay. Like if it's about minimalism, it's about disconnecting from the things that hurt you or, you know, what's the word I'm trying to say?
Just being present in a situation.
A detachment. That's okay. The word I was looking for. Practicing detachment. It goes back to being really analytical and saying, okay, like I'm really just poisoning myself by being so hard on myself. Maybe if I just take in the moment of the fact that I've got this beautiful, like heaven above me and the highway below me, and that's all I really need in myself. And as long as I'm being true to myself and I'm learning from whatever's going on, that I'm going to be okay. And so Between Heaven and the Highway is just kind of one of those acclimations to acknowledging what you need to be content.
There you go.
You know,
well, and you know what? I think we all found out during COVID that we really don't need as much as we thought.
No. Yeah, no, I agree.
You know,
I was living in Fort Worth whenever that happened. And that was wild.
Yeah.
That was a wild time.
It was a wild time. And I
think we're still all recovering.
Well, absolutely we are. But I think probably if there's some, because I'm the kind of girl that always looks for the rainbow and whatever's going on. I've always been that way. I'm the love life girl. I mean, that's everybody that knows me knows that Maylee's going to find something good in that situation. Because I grew up I had a really harsh childhood and a lot that I wanted to escape from. But I've learned in my adulthood that I'm actually grateful, as much as that sounds silly. I'm grateful that I got to see some of that darkness to understand that it's really about what you make of it. And I could live in that darkness the rest of my life. And I know a lot of people that do. And I have a brother that did. And he ended at drug addiction and ended up dying at 30. And sadly, I couldn't change anything about that for him, because you can only do that for yourself. And so that's when
it's hard.
It is hard. It's very hard. But it's also so enlightening when you recognize that you are in control of what and who you are. And you don't let all this outside influence be so influential on who you are each day. And I mean, there's days I wake up and I'm kind of in a funk and I don't understand it. And I'm not saying I think it's okay to be sad. I tell my kids all the time, there's going to be times where you're just sad. Sometimes you don't even know why. And it's okay to, you know, because without that, how would we know joy? You know, you have to experience
exactly right.
That to know the joy of life. And there's just so much out there and so much beauty and there's so much sorrow as well. But I like to live in the moment and I want to feel it. I do. I want to feel it and experience it. And clearly I know you do too, because you've written a lot of songs about it. You've written a lot of songs about it. So that's Between Heaven and the Highway. And then this song, Bad. Now that you've talked a little bit, I think I already understand where you're coming from. And I already knew listening to it what you meant by that. But I think it's important for us to remind people that we all feel this way.
Yes.
In some way or another.
Yeah. And, you know, Bad is actually one of probably the only song I have released right now that I actually wrote from another person's story.
I've done that a few times.
An observation from the outside of someone else's experience. But the experience was actually this was a guy who was kind of, the way that bad is expressed was more towards like a girl that he was having issues with. And so, but I just like flipped it around as a girl singing from that, a girl's perspective. And so I think it could be sung either way.
Of course.
If you kind of mess with it, but it's, yeah, it's one of the few songs that I've written that's actually someone else's problems, not mine.
I did that. I've done that. I wrote a song called Don't Give Up, watching another couple that was giving up on each other. And, you know, and it was just like, I so badly wanted to tell them I wrote that song for them, but I couldn't because they were in such a funk, you know?
Well, this guy, his girlfriend, this guy was a friend of mine, and his girlfriend, he and his girlfriend had just a super toxic relationship, but you know, they'd break up, but then, you know, she would just be blowing up his phone all the time. I found it really comical. It was kind of comical, but the way they went back and forth, I don't know. It did not work out for them in the end.
Well,
as you can imagine.
Well, you know, if it's toxic, it didn't need to work out.
No.
Right? And no, again, one of those times where you recognize that you're maybe not even ready for a relationship because you still have so many things you need to figure out about yourself and why you would keep going back to something that wasn't good. But
but he said that. He was like, "What does she want from me? Like, all she does is talk about me, and all she does is run down my name to all these people, and then she shows up at my house. She shows up at my house wanting to hang out, or like, I'll go home and she's in my house, you know, just crazy stuff like that. And it's like, what do you want from me? If I'm so bad, why are you here?"
Yeah. There's a lot.
Probably plenty of people that
there's a lot in that situation. There's a lot of people in that situation, girlfriend. Yes, you must know. I certainly do. Well, Between Heaven and the Highway and Bad from Lindsay Buchanan, right here on Texas Homegrown Music. We're going to do it back to back. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple more songs and also where she might be playing that you can hear, all the social media things. This gal's really got it going on, and I'm so glad that you're here today on Texas Homegrown Music, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Well, we're back with Lindsay Buchanan, and Lindsay's put out some really beautiful music. And I got to tell you, on your first record, really great recording stuff. Where did you do this at?
Thank you. Yeah. So I owe all of the gratitude to Milo Deering.
Oh my gosh. I love Milo and Scarlett.
He plays all of the instruments. It's funny, like I've been recording using Milo for all of these instruments for years now, and I have yet to meet him yet. Everything I do with him is remote through a studio in Abilene. So, but I go to a recording studio in Abilene called Big Note.
Okay.
And the engineer there, his name is Terry Mashburn, and he's been in Abilene for a long time. I started going out there whenever I was like, 15 years old. I was recording some like tryout tracks for, it was called the Colgate Country Showdown. It was like a thing at the fair, I think, that they did that you could go. It was like a talent country music thing. But ever since I went to that, my dad took me out there and I did a couple acoustic recordings. I just stayed in touch with him over the years. And so he's always been a part of my recording process. So I go out there and I'll lay down my
basic tracks,
scratch tracks. Yep. And then he sends one to Milo. Milo does his magic. He calls it the Milo magic. That's what Terry calls it. And then he gets it back and he mixes it all up and we get it mastered. And that's what we've been doing. All of my songs that are out were produced out there with the exception of one, which Bad. If you notice, it has a little bit more of a contemporary kind of rock sound to it. And that's because that one was actually recorded in St. Joe with Jared Flushy. He's a lead guitar player for Giovanni and the Hired Guns, and he used to play with Co Wetzel and some other people, but he has a home studio. And so when I recorded Bad, I was kind of reaching for kind of experimenting with a different sound to add a little more of a contemporary vibe, because most of my music is real traditional country. And so with Bad, I just knew it had to be a little edgier, and he did a great job on doing
it. And without taking it so far out that you couldn't still play it on a country station. So that's
right. Yeah. He still got the steel guitar in there.
Yep.
So he still got the country flair in there for me, but.
Well, girl, Milo Deering is, and I've been very fortunate to have him play with me many times, and his daughter, Scarlett, both of his daughters and his wife, they are the salt of the earth people. And talk about a hippie vibe. It's a bummer that you haven't met him, because he's a true hippie soul. He really is. He really is.
You know, I need to commit to doing that this year.
You do need to.
Like, look, I'm coming to see you. I'm coming to see you play somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a hug.
He does all these so much. And you probably know this. He toured with the Eagles. I mean, he's a really, really sought after musician, but he's just such a humble guy. And he's got this really cool Beatles band that I've hired to do some things with, and actually sang a song with him on. That are fantastic, and they do kind of a bluegrass Beatles style. Beetlegrass
That's awesome.
Is what it's called, and so check it out. It's a lot of fun. They've got lots of stuff on YouTube and Facebook, but he's a dear soul, and I don't know if you realize how many instruments the guy plays.
Yeah, he is not human.
I know. It's like, how can one person be so proficient in so many things?
I know. And it's like, you know, I'll go record my scratch vocals and Terry's like, Milo, he's on tour with Don Henley this week. But when he gets back, you know, he'll throw this together.
Yeah.
But he never misses on my sound. You know, he comes in and he gets it done. And he always has been able to really hone in on my sound.
Yeah.
And well. So...
It's a gift for sure. It's a gift. Well, I'm going to play Skeletons, and I know that, everybody can relate to just the whole idea of having skeletons. And, you know, we grew up with that term, you know, you've got skeletons in your closet. I think it's important for us to pull those suckers out and just destroy them and yeah. you know, let everybody know that.
Or, you know, make friends with them,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. or accept know. It and be, and let it be something yeah. that you are, like I said, for me, I'm grateful that I went through a lot of what I've gone through because it's given me such a better insight to life and what it's all about. And like I said, it's about relationship. And I think I just made a really great relationship with you, girlfriend. I do.
I'm glad.
I've enjoyed this so much. Probably we're going to get to know each other a little better. And what better way than through our love for music. Give me a little bit about Skeletons and then tell people where they can find you.
Okay. Yeah. So Skeletons was written during a time that, you know, I had just gone through a divorce. And whenever you start to realize they're moving on and you're like, he's got a new girlfriend or, you know, somebody's coming around. I wonder how that's going. And just a disclaimer, like my ex-husband and I, like we're cool. Like everything's fine. But, you know, at the time when you're in the heat of, anguish going on, it's like the song is really about someone stepping in to where you were. You know, you live in a house together, you think you're building a life together, and then whenever that's all pulled out from under your feet and someone else steps into that role that you were in, it's like, you know, every time you walk down the hall, do you feel me there? You know, because you leave a part of you behind in those places.
I know lots of people.
Sunrise off the.
I know lots of people yeah. can relate to that, and you know, we live in a society where one out of two marriages are going to end in divorce at some time. We also live at a time where we're living longer. And so that when yeah. you're living longer, which means you're probably going to have more than one relationship, even if you've been with your spouse for a long time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm going through it with a lot of people that I see now because being in the last third of my life, a lot of my friends and people that I've known are losing spouses and they want to be in love again. They want to feel love again. Yeah. And I'm the first one to say, hey, tell me what you would want for your spouse. I definitely would want mine to find love right. again and to be you free know, in that. So, yeah.
Marriage is, you hear it a lot these days. Marriage is a construct. And I think growing up in a super, with super Baptist family, you have it set in your mind like, you get married before you do anything, you know, and it's the goal. You get married, you have kids, you know, you have your white picket fence, whatever. But then you go through something like a divorce and you're like, this was just paperwork. This is unnecessary paperwork. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like I love being married now. I love my husband so much. And I love being married to him. But if we didn't get married, I don't think it would change anything. And if we hadn't done anything on paper, I don't think it would have changed anything because we still love each other very much. And, but Skeletons is just one of those songs that it's like, you want to give the other person a heads up of what they're walking into.
Well,
that's kind of what it's about.
Maybe you want to, but you don't always get a chance to.
No, you know, and I held off on recording that song for so long. When I wrote it, I felt like it made me sick in my stomach. Honestly, I wrote it and like I was like secretly wishing that they could hear it, but I held on to it. It was too painful to record, to sing. I wouldn't sing it out live or anything. And my best friend, after like 3 or 4 years of not recording it, she's like, if you don't record that song, like I need you to record it. And I only recorded it because she wanted me to. So,
well,
but now I can look back on it and I have more appreciate with distance from that situation. I can appreciate the song itself with detachment from what it was about. You know, I can look back and respect that I went through that time and everything, but I don't feel the same way about a lot of my songs now. I look back on a lot of them now and I respect that I went through what I went through and that a song came out of it.
Yeah, well, good. You got a song out of it, girl, and a lot of people can relate to it. I know a lot of people are going to relate to that song. That's why I chose it. But before we go, I want people to find out where you are going to be and your music. So for those of you that don't realize, she spells her name L-Y-N-D-S-E-Y. It's a little bit different spelling of Lindsay. And Buchanan, yeah. B-U-C-H-A-N-N-A-N-A-N, one N. And, you know, you can get her music, of course, on Spotify and Apple. But I want to encourage you to go to her site. She says she's at Linktree.
Yeah, linktree.com/Lindsay Buchanan. And that'll take you to my music. That'll take you to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And I think that's everything. I don't know. There's so many platforms out there, but that's where you will find a majority of it.
And if you like her music, call your local radio station. Tell them to play your stuff, because that's the way we get things done around here in Texas.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I have a song that was released to radio, and I'm glad you said that, because, you know, Wild Eyes was released to radio, and that's the one everyone needs to be requesting right now. It's the newest.
All right, well,
single
then,
that's,
you know,
out.
What? I'm going to throw it in there too, so you guys, you'll be listening, you'll hear
Thank
Wild
you.
Eyes. I'm
yeah.
going to end. I'll end my show with that today. And I just say, honey, thank you so much for being a part of this and for sharing your story. I think somebody out there is going to really appreciate it. I know they do. I always get some kind of an email from someone that says, thanks for sharing that. So thank you for being so transparent.
Yeah, let me know if you get one of those. I love that.
All right, I will. And I'll pass it on. So here you go, Lindsay Buchanan with Skeletons. And we'll be right back on Texas Homegrown Music.
Every time you walk down the hall, can you feel me there? When you're laying next to him and your skin is bare. Every time you look in the mirror, always use a little bit more. Every time he looks at you, can you feel me? Chain my soul to the bottom of that empty stare.
it, don't you guys just love her? Isn't she precious? Oh my goodness. It's so wonderful to have this opportunity and this platform that I have to get to know these new artists that I know one day you guys are all going to know, and so many of them will be a household name. And if they're not a household name across the country, perhaps in your household. So please be sure to check out her music. Lindsay is a beautiful person, and I do believe that she's got a trajectory that's going to do nothing but make her a lot more notable to a lot of people, not just in Texas, but all across the country. And so thank you guys so much for listening to this today with Lindsay Buchanan. What a beautiful person. So I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to my sponsors, of course, the Guitar Sanctuary and Burris Injury Law, for making this possible every week. And remind you guys about TMR 28, Texas Music Revolution, coming up the first weekend of June, June 7th and 8th. This past week, I got to be involved in our TMR 25, which is our Texas Music Revolution documentary at the DIFF, the Dallas International Film Festival. Many different festivals that it's been premiered at, but it was really special to have it premiered right here in our home state of Texas in Dallas, the first time played here, and we had such a great reception. I know you guys are going to love it, and we're going to make history with TMR 28. I've got Bree Bagwell on Friday night just before the headliner Lucas Nelson. She'll be on our stage, of course, Texas Homegrown Music stage, and then on Saturday night we've got a incredible lineup. So you guys can check it all out on texashomegrownmusic.com, and be sure to get your tickets, because I know it's going to be a stellar weekend, and I know that I'm going to see a lot of people out there that have been listening to the show. Be sure to come up and say hey to me. I love getting a hug from all my listeners. So peace out, everybody. Be sure to love life. You get out of what you put into it, and we'll see you next time right here on Texas Homegrown Music.